Good morning. This is Chris Nelson greeting you on this audio second Saturday on behalf of all of us in All Things New. We have missed you and we're sorry that we couldn't be with you in person to see your faces and be able to worship and pray with you. But we feel like this is a good way to connect, to maintain our oneness in the Lord. And though we're in different places, we can still encourage one another to be strong in the Lord. We hope that we have a place in your lives as we approach Holy Week. We're all about asking people to set apart time to be in the presence of the Lord in prayerful dialogue, honoring that primary relationship in our lives. So for this April 4th, we are weaving together a message from the March retreat, which was entitled Quiet Waters, Led by the Shepherd. The April message is Waters of Baptism, the Peace of a Clear Conscience. Through these two, we're continuing to unfold the topic for this year, which is Isaiah 12:3, Drawing with Joy from the Wells of Salvation. It's been a learning process on how to draw on that living water, how to recognize that we are drawing from sources that don't meet our needs, and how we can let the Lord Himself draw us to the wells of salvation. So this is a backdrop to the meaning of Holy Week. The progression through the past months has been an ever-deepening work of God as we've continued to invest in the process. What we've touched on is that the wells of salvation are deep. They are as unfathomable as the Lord's love. However deep our needs, there is nothing beyond the reach of that love. The living water that flows from this well cleanses and heals and quenches our deepest thirsts. God's deeper work is that Christ would be formed in us. We are making room for this life and character to be formed in us. He works in the context of each life, speaks to us in our own language and our own circumstances, and draws us deeper through our daily encounters with Him. So today's message is about knowing the deeper needs of our hearts that we may not see. God comes as our shepherd and healer, as He brings deeper healing. His love and righteousness can rise unfettered from the depths of our being. In this work, He asks us to be transparent, to be willing to invite His searching light into our conscience, to restore in us the peace of a clean heart. In planning for this message, we asked the Lord what was on His heart for all of us during Holy Week. His simple answer was that we would bow before Him. We may bow before the Lord in several ways, to worship Him, to pray, to make humble confession, or just to wait on Him in the quiet, opening ourselves to what is on His heart. So in our messages today, you will hear some things about how He has met us as we have been on our knees. You can also download the journaling questions that we have. They may be meaningful to you during Holy Week. We hope so. Our prayer is that He will draw each of us into His presence, that He will cleanse and renew us in His love in whatever way we need, and that He would restore the joy of our salvation. Amen.
Hello, brothers and sisters. My sharing today combines preparations that were for the March 14th healing retreat that we could not have, and also the second Saturday that was planned for this coming April 4th, and since we're doing this online, I trust that this will be meaningful to you and combining these teachings. And actually, it's quite appropriate in given that we're dealing with this radical change in our lives. And while each of our stories, including what's going on with the pandemic, our set of experiences are unique, our basic underlying storyline is the same. We are each a shepherd's sheep. We belong to our shepherd Lord. And as we see in Psalm 23 and passages in John 10 and elsewhere throughout the Bible, we see a lot of communication about understanding the precious figure of the shepherd in our lives. And we each bow before the Lord King as sheep who need his tending. We follow his lead. I follow my shepherd's lead. He guides, he protects. It's his rod and staff that guide and protect me. The traditional picture of a shepherd's staff with the crook at the end is when he can reach out and grab a sheep by its neck and prevent him, direct him, guide him into a certain direction. And we're thankful for this. This is what the shepherd does for us. He protects us. He provides for us. And it is to his provision in his green pastures and by his still waters and in his quiet places that he takes us, not only for rest and peace, but for restoration and nurture. He can take us to places where he can heal. He can remove parasites. He can remove burrs. He can heal cuts, bind us up. He cleanses and prepares us for the next day, and he reorients us to his voice. And what's remarkable about this is we don't choose where or when or how this happens. It is the shepherds who does this work. What we do is to will to follow him in his way. And it's through the door, through the protective walls into his pasture. His sheepfold has walls around it that once he gets us in there, we are protected. And it's his safe pasture for us. It's like that's the room of the shepherd that we dwell in. He also is the wounded shepherd. I've never thought of this till I started this preparation, but shepherds had a very difficult life. This was not easy. Roaming the hills and these pastoral pictures we see at times was part of it. But the shepherd had to fight for his sheep. He had to fight off wolves and mountain lions. He could be scarred and bleeding. And so our shepherd, our wounded shepherd, the Lord, was scarred and bleeding, suffered from guiding, protecting, and saving us, his sheep. Now, Christ's suffering is crucial to my understanding, and I believe for our understanding of his love for us and ours for him. It also, his suffering is also the example of enduring suffering for his purposes in our own lives. How we live on this earth and how he lives through us and how he uses us is exemplified in what we see in his life. God suffered just by being born here. This beautiful image of the child coming on Christmas that we celebrate in Christmas. It is wonderful and it is a great gift, but God incarnated in our flesh was a removal from his Father. He left the side of his Father and came to this mortal dwelling. That alone was a suffering in terms of that somewhat of a separation from the Father, even though he stayed in communication with him. But even before his 3 years of ministry, Christ, in learning and how to be human and the sufferings he endured to obey his Father, was 30 years of suffering before his ministry even started. And then, of course, once his ministry started, the resistance, the accusations, the denial, the rejection, the ridicule he suffered was, again, I just said it, it was suffering for our sake. Then he's tempted in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry. And the three temptations that this evil one throws at him, those three temptations encompass all the sufferings, all the temptations that we experience because we're tempted by the evil one to exert our own self-control, to provide for ourselves for our needs, our wants, to determine our own power, to determine our own world that we can grasp. Then, of course, the Lord went to the cross and the final earthly humiliation he had. Some weeks ago, when I was preparing for the March 14th teaching, I was in quiet prayer, and I was struggling in my prayer time to keep focus. And while I was doing that, I suddenly had this sense of a pair of eyes looking at me. That's all I saw was a pair of eyes. And as I was looking at them, the eyes were glancing around, and then they locked on mine. It was as if, and then I understood, this is the Lord's eyes, and they were glancing around until he found me. His eyes locked on mine. And then I noticed that there was some blood dripping off of his eyebrow. And then it's as if I panned back, the camera panned back, and I saw his entire face. And I saw the thorns embedded in his flesh on his head. And I saw sweat and blood pouring down his face. Now, then I saw him smile at me. Now, it was a smile kind of filled with pain as well, but it was a smile. And then he whispered to me, "Welcome." Now, what I understood in this perception, that it was in his suffering, his love for me was being expressed. He was welcoming me into this suffering because he knew that this suffering was his love for me, and his eyes were full of tears on my behalf. Now this suffering shepherd, this shepherd who went to the cross for us, is the one who guides, provides, and protects and leads us to the banquet table. This is the shepherd before whom we bow. And it's in the process of becoming more like him that he guides us. Now, we often have many barriers, multitudes of ways we confuse our needs, fears, and desires with God's will and purposes. We desperately want blessing. We desperately want healing. We desperately want change. And yet, we can often confuse that, and hunger for that so much that we forget that our focus is to be loving and being loved by God. Be loving of God and being loved by God. Often that reduces down to the humility of trust versus our pride, holding our fear and anxiety, our judgments of what is good and bad and the timing for those as being more important, as if my heart can be on a shelf shouting, "Prove it, Lord. I'm not certain God can take care of this. Maybe it's too much for him. Maybe he's just not paying attention to me." It's even a version of what Job went through. Job couldn't understand what was happening to him. I've struggled with this with my anger. I have struggled with anger my whole life. And I often have come to God saying, "God, I have prayed about this. Why are you not changing this in my life more than it is being changed?" And I think God's words to me are you confusing your understanding of healing with my healing? When we look at the examples in the text of the woman at the well, if we look at Peter, their confusion when they came and what they were asking for and what God recognized, what the Lord recognized in their lives, what they needed, what their true healing was needed. The blind man in Mark 10, 50-52 is a wonderful example of this difference between physical versus spiritual healing. This blind man shouts out to the Lord, and the Lord asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And of course, the blind man says, "I want to see again." And the Lord does heal his physical sight. But the more important thing he's doing is giving him a spiritual sight, healing his spiritual blindness. What is the true need that Christ knows, that's what he goes for healing. When I'm looking for physical relief to assuage my heart struggle, am I understanding that God has actually seen past that? God is looking at what my heart truly needs. He's asking me, do I desire closeness with him more than anything or anyone else, including my understanding of me, my needs? God is always aimed at the eternal perspective on my life. He wants me for his kingdom. That doesn't mean he's not paying attention to my earthly needs, but he's always seeing his kingdom perspective and my eternal needs as paramount. Now, God's eternal perspective and purpose for me and for each one of us is always deeply rooted in his love. The text in John 15 of the famous vine and branches is a wonderful perspective on this because it's about rootedness And it's about time, because vines grow, branches grow and need to be pruned over time. Now, he's doing what is eternally best for us beyond our measures and understanding. Often, this process, going through the struggle, doing the work that he asks us to do, isn't dramatic. It's repetitive. The slow growth of nature is equal to the slow growth of human nature. It's baby steps over a long period. It's waiting on the Lord for his invisible work to become evident in my life. And I'm usually the last one to see, to perceive the transforming he's doing within me. It takes others to come and give his word of love and growth to me. I'm often tempted to look at someone else, see what's happening in their life. But when I see someone else's transformation, I'm not aware of the long growth time that has been going on as God works with that person. I only see the change. And God, again, comes to me saying, Paul, keep your eyes on me. Let me do this. You can't understand fully, other than I love you. You can't understand the timing. You can't understand my purposes. You can't see my measures. They're beyond your human perspective. God knows us by name, and he knows us by heart. He knows each of us, each of our hearts, better than we do. 1 John 3:19 through 24 is a powerful text. And I don't have time to read that right now, but I wish you would read that and go back over the passages in John 10. Read through Psalm 23 again, as we've been talking about the shepherd's work in our lives. But in 1 John 3, we get this powerful attestation that if our heart condemns us, well, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything, and he's the one who purifies us. Now, let's come back to the quiet waters of Psalm 23. It's a shepherd. It's our Lord Shepherd who guides us, who dwells beside us and receives us and takes us to the river of life. He washes us. He takes us to these waters. He bathes us and he gives us rest and transformation. He restores our souls. The Father, Son, and Spirit's presence is always with us. God's character, the fullness of his being, is love. No love happens that does not come out of God. He is the essence and the creation of love. It is never otherwise, no matter what the world shouts, no matter what I see or hear or feel. God is always present and loving in me. And it's his light that guides me to that feast table at the end of Psalm 23. You know, it's fascinating to me, and in other texts where we see God giving strength, provision, protection, fighting with us, strengthening our arms. But here in this feast table, at the end of Psalm 23, it says, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Our enemies are still there. He doesn't take them away. He doesn't solve our problems here on this earth in that manner. Now, again, I am not limiting God when I say that, because God does do remarkable, miraculous things at times. And he does make changes that are beyond anything we could even hope for. But so much of the time, what we experience goes over and over and over in our lives. The enemies are there. Struggles and battles must be fought. The evil one is constantly seeking to corrupt us, to destroy our relationship with God, to remove us from the shepherd's sheepfold. Again, in 1 John 3, we see, at the end of 1 John 3, we see these wonderful words that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And he has done that. That is what the cross did. But he continues to do that because the devil does not cease his constant prowling, seeking whom he can devour. But God is there with us. Yes, the enemies are there. The evil one is there. God continues to be with us. And I think here in this pandemic time is a powerful time for us to understand what he's saying to us about resting in him. Shortly after the pandemic started, and as it was getting more intense, and this would be probably middle of March for me, one night I just couldn't sleep. I could not quiet my thoughts. They weren't all about the pandemic by any means. I was thinking a lot of things. I was lying in bed trying to rest. I was asking the Lord for rest to quiet my mind, and it just wasn't happening. So I got out of bed, I came out into our great room and sat in a recliner and decided I would read for a while to try to distract myself. But just as I sat and started to pick up a book, I thought, no, I'm gonna pray. I want to pray one more time. And as I closed my eyes, and almost instantly, as I closed, I set my book down, closed my eyes, put my hands open in my lap. I had this sense. I saw and it was a rainy night. It was a rainy night here. Colder, it was raining. And I had this sense I was in a dark place and it was wet and cold. And in the distance, I saw a glow. And I walked toward that glow and it was a fire. And as I got close to the fire, I saw Jesus on the other side of that fire, sitting down on the ground, dark surrounding. And there were other people around the fire, but the one directly across from me was Jesus. And he turned and his face looked at me and his eyes captured mine. And I came closer and sat down on the fire opposite from him. And my sense was that everybody else around that fire had that same relationship with him. In the way that only the Lord could do, his eyes were on each one of us, but my eyes were locked on his. And I sat there. And for me, what was fascinating is there were no words. There was no thinking, which is where instantly I go. But God didn't give me any, the Lord did not give me any words. He didn't give me any thinking. He just kept his eyes on me. And my deep, deep understanding was I wasn't to seek for guidance. I wasn't to seek for words or a way to think through this. He wanted me to rest in him, to keep my eyes on him, to rest in his presence. Not gaining understanding, but about being in his presence. And I think today, as I bring up the texts of 1 Peter 3:18 through 22 and Hebrews 10:22, I want to bring in the understanding of waters that connect with baptism and connect with communion. Because this rest, this peace, excuse me, the cleansing of our conscience, that is what God offers us. What Christ does for us, what Christ's suffering through the cross did for us, through his resurrection, and through our baptism in his blood. Because that is what baptism represents. It is our vow to him too, our declaration of who we are, who we belong to. But it really is an understanding that we are being bathed in his blood, immersed, complete, total immersion. Now, I'm not trying to make a statement about immersion baptism as being the only one. I'm just picturing the fact that we need to be consumed, fully swallowed up in the flood of his love, the flood of his resurrection blood for us. Because through that, I am purified by the cleansing work of his resurrection. And that continues each day. The Lord's Prayer is a focus on daily need. We have other texts that talk about living in the moment of each day, not worrying about the next day, letting today's struggles, today's needs be enough. And so it is that clear conscience, that peace and quiet that I'm looking for in this day. I'm not worrying about the future. I'm not worried about tomorrow. Now, yes, I do. And then I take that to the Lord in prayer. But God's perspective on this is live with me today. Rest secure in me today. I know his voice. I see his eyes. He knows his sheep. He knows my heart. and everything flows from love, from His love for us and our love for Him. When I come to Him with worship, praise, and adoration, when I come to Him with worship, praise, and adoration, I give my love and receive His. When I come to Him with all my fears, my struggles, and doubt, I give my love and receive His love. When I beg forgiveness again and again and again, I give my love to Him and receive His love for me. And when I trust and obey, when I thank Him, when I show His love to others, I dwell in His love. And my conscience is cleaned, cleansed, restored, and I rest in His peace. God and His angels throughout the Word proclaim, "Do not be afraid. Be still and know I am God. I am always with you, and my love is continually transforming you to bring you into the fullness of my kingdom for eternity. Do not be afraid. Be still and know I am God. Come, Lord Jesus, our Shepherd King." And now you will hear from Chris and Diane.
This is Chris Nelson sharing again. I'm sharing my testimony in the context of the April topic, Waters of Baptism, the peace of a clear conscience, and of God's word that we would bow before Him. From Paul's message, we can see ourselves bowing before the Lord as sheep who need His tending. We are given His help to see clearly how our wounds and weaknesses need His healing words, His comfort, and that we are understood in the context of an ongoing process of becoming more like Him. We need to keep this in mind as we bow before the Lord for His deep, careful cleansing of our hearts. The Spirit searches our hearts so that we can name as sin or error the things that offend or block His pure life in us. To have a clear conscience, we may need to see what is behind the places in our hearts where we are not at peace. I want to read the two scriptures that we were using for this April topic. First, Hebrews 10:19-23. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." And 1 Peter 3:18-21a. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, He went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. Holy Week is a pathway that is open to us each year and is now open once more. These simple images have helped me look forward. We can see Holy Week as walking with Jesus and His followers through the door of the cross to the salvation Isaiah prophesied so long ago that is now ours. With the theme, Waters of Baptism, the peace of a clear conscience, another image comes to mind about the repentance we practice at this time. It is as if we are bathing in those baptismal waters, renewing that covenant, and then coming out washed clean. My own testimony during this Lenten season involved a clearing away of barriers to His leading. It was a time of questioning for me. There was a sense of loss of meaning and the need to be refueled, though I didn't understand exactly why I felt this way or in what way I expected God to repair me. But in a recent quiet time, the Lord helped me name those barriers with the help of Psalm 62, especially these verses. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. My hope comes from Him. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. As I literally bowed before Him and asked Him to examine my heart, He shed light on some underlying assumptions that were blocking my life. His light seemed to go down beyond my thoughts, underneath them, to let those scriptures speak to me in a new and different way. I saw how He has all authority and power. Nothing I encounter, including my own perspective on my life, past, present, or future, those barriers can stand against Him. As I grasped this, seeing it from His perspective, it was easy then to lay all my thoughts before Him, to just hand them over. I felt a deep weight roll off. Then I saw more clearly what it means that His love is unfailing. It truly is the one ruling power through which He operates, always from love and toward love, that He is working in our relationship. I used this measure to pray through the ways I was operating in duty rather than His love. I realized I needed to reset my work ethic, and I had not even noticed that it was changing. He affirmed the value of just doing things for His pleasure and use. I don't need to look for validation on earth to know He is pleased or try to evaluate things I do based on my own measures. It was freeing to ask Him to show me, going forward, the things I could do that would just have kingdom worth and help me avoid ones that would not. Because of this time of cleansing, He could speak to me about how to move forward and free me from my deep unsettledness. So He brought to mind things that I thought were endpoints in my life. He told me that I was to see that only some of them were actually endpoints, and many were just pauses, temporary stopping places. I needed to release those back to Him so they would not block what He's still unfolding in my life. I felt reassured that I could choose to position myself fully under Him, not laboring or defining things by my sense of responsibility and my weaknesses and my limited expectations. I felt great freedom. These words reoriented my soul. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. Peace came. I felt released. I want to emphasize again that many times, peace only comes when we have invited the Lord to go behind our human understanding, whether it is sin or human limitations. When we lay out our thinking and perceptions before Him, He will put to rest the things that undermine our peace. My relief, according to His leading, was that I could just follow, because He would make sure that I could see what pleased Him most.
Hi, I'm Diane Paulson, and I'm so thankful that I have this opportunity to just share with you this morning. I just want to say how much we miss you. First, the cancellation of our March 14th retreat, and now that we've had to, that I can't see you face to face for the April 2nd Saturday. Our love and prayers are with you, and we pray that you're experiencing God's presence and love in new ways. For me, this season has been one of discipline to walk in and to live out wisdom found in the Word and to be in prayer. I often feel distracted and a bit off kilter with the news and the disruptions and uncertainty that it's caused all of us. I'm trying to learn how to use Zoom, and I miss the joy of being together. Recently, I awoke burdened and bowed down with the needs of a friend I was hardly able to navigate. Then the Lord reminded me of Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7, which earlier that week had really spoken to me. It says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are His people, the flock under His care." I sensed the Lord wanted me to lie on the floor, basically do FaceTime with Him, and meditate on these verses, and not on the needs of my friend. For me, bowing down in worship was not putting on praise music, but in reverence and silence, being in His presence, honoring who the Lord is. There was a great release in my spirit, taking this time to bow down, lying on my face to worship, focusing on who the Lord was and who we are. This position also affirmed the promise that we are His people, the flock under His care. I didn't feel I did heavy-duty intercession for my friend, but I knew the Lord had heard the cry of my heart for her, and I had peace He was with her. Since that morning, I have often felt the Lord inviting me to bow down, to humble myself, to get quieter so I can hear more clearly what the Lord is speaking to me and how to intercede for the needs that He puts on my heart. In the bowing down, I actually put a prayer shawl or blanket over me. It helps me to feel sheltered in place with the Lord and to shut out distractions. One morning during my FaceTime, I felt personally bowed down by the weight of not knowing if we had made the right decision in buying a new vehicle. While I was quiet, the Lord brought to mind seeing a goose splashing around in the sunshine. I thought the goose is free, and I am not. I'm weighed down with this vehicle decision. During this time of trying to listen, it seemed the Lord wanted to speak to me about some deeper fears that I was unaware of, to trust Him and to share and ask for prayer for what I sensed the Lord was revealing to me in the quiet. I can't say I'm at 100% peace, free as that goose, with our decision, but I'm putting my trust in Him and His deeper purposes. I pray for you often. You feel like my flock. During this time, I do pray the Lord will help all of us shelter in place with Him, under His wing, experiencing His love and the comfort of His love for ourselves, but also for those He puts on our hearts. I pray that as we bow down in worship, He'll also reveal to us anything we're bowed down with so we can be free. Yes, free as the goose, and know we indeed are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Amen.